We're going to continue our Thursday night topics this year, things that we don't necessarily enjoy talking about, things that we don't talk about, and we're going to look tonight at a different topic, my wife asked me what tonight's topic was, and I wouldn't tell her, so she's waiting in anticipation, there's a reason I didn't tell her, going to look again tonight at a subject that we avoid talking about, but most certainly don't talk about enough. And I want to speak for a few minutes tonight on the pastor's wife. What a role that is. So to start out, we're going to look at every verse in the Bible that talks about a pastor's wife. All right? Get your Bibles out, all right? We're going to go through every verse. Got a concordance. We studied this. Every verse that talks about a pastor's wife. You ready? All right, we're done. All right? There are none. Not a one. You say, well, qualifications. 1 Timothy chapter 3, Titus, study it. There's not, the pastor's wife is never mentioned. Now, without a doubt, you know, there's certain things understood in the qualifications. The pastor's ruling his own house well, but, you know, the wife is obviously following and in agreement with things. But it's the American church model that's made the pastor's wife into an office. But not the Bible. I remember when I became pastor, someone walked up to my wife and they said, well, you're our new first lady. And my wife went home and said, I don't know what that is. What's that mean? Without a doubt, a pastor's wife is a very important role in the church. To be the woman who's married to the pastor, it's a very unique position. Because a pastor's wife has the responsibility and the opportunity to encourage her husband, to pray with him, to counsel, to give support to the man who's entrusted to lead the congregation that you're a part of. Her work is pretty much thankless, as most that she ever does is behind the scenes. If you turn over to Ephesians chapter number 1, Ephesians chapter number 1, I really spent a lot of time thinking, months actually, and I still am going to be studying this more. I'm speaking at a pastor's conference in December of 2022 on the topic to pastors, of how to shield your wife in the ministry. So I've already been thinking a lot about this, and thinking and having a lot of prayer and study on this. And again, it's one of those things that most people don't hardly ever think about. But a pastor's wife and her effectiveness is felt throughout the church, throughout the community, and throughout the world. So what do you mean by that? She ministers to me, who makes a whole lot of decisions. I made decisions today that affected things in Siberia, Russia, Florida, Colorado yesterday, and a lot of things here. I've had the privilege of watching my grandma be a very faithful pastor's wife for many, many years. Had the privilege of watching my mom be a tremendous pastor's wife for many, many years. And I'm enjoying the privilege of watching my wife do a tremendous job in being a great pastor's wife. The Bible is very clear about the requirements for a pastor, but there are no requirements given for a pastor's wife. But we do. We put a lot of requirements upon a pastor's wife. And I know, obviously, the pastor's wife needs to be saved and faithful and on board and willing to teach. But that's everybody in the church. That's part of being a church member. Amen? Most often, though, it's expected that a pastor's wife play the piano, teach Sunday school, clean the kitchen, get out all the utensils for every fellowship, put them away after cleaning them, and be on visitation, and be at every prayer meeting, and lead every ladies' fellowship, and counsel any ladies who need help, and to make sure the church is clean, to make sure things are decorated, to plan the games at the event, to be at every activity, to sit with the widows, to lead in the Bible school competitions, to go to the nursing home, to go in to help start these new churches, to make sure there's curtains hung up in the right place, to be the babysitter when the pastor counsels, to make sure the nursery has all the workers, to fold the bulletins. And I could go on and on and on. Right, Mom? He said, well, I don't expect them to do that. Who's doing it? I'm just talking about something we don't ever talk about. That it's good to talk about these things. Amen? I mean, can you imagine, it's one of the very few places and roles. Brother Doug owns a business, and I'm sure he's interviewed quite a few people in your life. Right, Brother Doug? You ever brought in their wives? Why it really has no play, but it does for any pastor. I don't know that a wife is ever formally interviewed, but she's always informally interviewed. See who she is, what she's like. Brother Doug owns a business. I'm just using an illustration, but he doesn't expect any of the wives of the men that works at his place to know what's going on at the shop or how to fix anything or how to run anything. We do. And I'm not in any way, I again didn't tell my wife I was speaking on this because I didn't want her worrying about it. Didn't want her thinking about it. But it's something we need to speak about. Every church needs to speak about her responsibilities. While there's very little thanks, there's always a lot of scrutiny. Now, our kids are growing up now, pretty much. But let the pastor's kids come in looking like a wreck. And everything that she does, her appearance, the work that she does, her performance and what she does, is being watched all the time. Again, when a man is considered to be a pastor, his wife is always brought into that consideration. And I'm not saying it shouldn't be. Obviously, if my wife was in rebellion to everything I'm teaching, shouldn't be pastoring. Amen? But in all these responsibilities and all this watchfulness and all these things that is expected to do, the Bible's completely silent. That's an interesting thing. What happens is this for a pastor's wife, and again, I speak from watching a grandmother, a mother, and my wife, is that a pastor's wife, and again, this is something that's never talked about, but I just want you to consider it, and I'll get to the points in just a second. A pastor's wife hears it all. Not that there's, a pastor doesn't go home and, share everything that's going on, but let's pretend the nursery was a wreck, or let's pretend the songbooks were all messed up. And most of the time, people don't go to me. They tell her to let me know. Anytime there's an issue, the responsibility seems to fall on her to let me know of these things. A pastor deals with a lot of hurt. A lot of hurt. Hurt from those who try to help, that say no. You see people's lives, you invest in people's lives, and the weight that a pastor will carry, because we're not just dealing with the temporal things. You know, when I get up and preach Sunday morning, we talk about salvation. Souls are going to spend an eternity in heaven or hell. And when people raise their hand and they know they're lost, or people are running from God and they don't want to get right, and you know what, you know, the things that are lying ahead, it's a lot of burdens. There's a whole lot of hurts. But I'm not focused. I don't want you to think about me. I just want you to understand this. That a pastor's wife hurts with her husband. Because normally these things, is that her attention too? But she hurts worse. Because she doesn't just hurt with her husband. She hurts for her husband. When the hurt is there, it's not just the hurt for the person that's going through it or making the wrong decisions or whatever, but it hurts for the pastor. When someone attacks something, and no one is, praise the Lord. But when someone, I've been in church all my life, very intricately close to pastors, and a lot of times pastors can get really hurt, and people can be mean. I don't know if you knew that. You all are mean, but people can be mean, all right? And it can really hurt. And the pastor will hurt. The pastor's wife will hurt twice as much. But when she comes in, she needs a smile. And with all this responsibility and all these things, and then a month rolls around and you have Pastor's Appreciation Month. Thank you. That's a blessing. But not much is ever said to the pastor's wife. Most pastors' wives that I know are some of the most amazing people in this world. To be able to carry what they carry, to love their husband, to love their church, to love their family, and to love the Lord with all their heart. It's a special person. So if the Bible is so silent, what are we preaching on? Well, I say, what are her responsibilities? She's a church member. Amen? She's a member of this church. And being a member of the church, there are some things and some ways every member of the church should be treated. Amen? And I'm not trying to build something up or, you know, give my wife a big head. She would not do that at all. And I don't mean this in any way, prideful or anything. But a pastor's wife is a special church member because of what she has to carry, what she has to see, what she has to go through and be responsible for. I'm not saying she's anything special other than the fact that she has a very unique position in the church. Nobody else has that position. Amen? So if every church member deserves some things, I think it's safe to say that a pastor's wife especially deserve some things. And I'm not talking stuff. I'm not talking because she's a church member. But what do we owe her? What do we owe a pastor's wife? I hope that your current pastor's wife is your pastor's wife for a very, very long time. But someday, if the Lord doesn't come back, you'll have a new pastor's wife and a new pastor. And I hope that you'll give that pastor's wife these very same things. Because I'm going to give you very quickly four things that every pastor's wife needs to hear. Because every church member needs to hear these things. But a pastor's wife is in a unique position where she needs to hear these things. Ephesians chapter number 1, look with me in verse number 15. It says, wherefore, now again, Paul is talking there in verse number 1 to the church that is at Ephesus. He's speaking to the members. Verse number 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. Everyone in this room is, listen, I hope you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you do, say amen. Amen. Amen, all right? And I hope that you have love towards one another. If you do, say amen. Amen. I hope you love each other. Your pastor's wife has to. If she wasn't of faith, I don't have a job, right? I'm saying that very loosely, but you know what I mean, right? If she hates everybody, I need to find a new profession. Right? And Paul says, I rejoice in this. So here's what needs to hear. Number one, write these four things down, all right? Number one, I appreciate you. Thank you. Verse 16, cease not to give thanks for you. We go to a church, we go to fellowships, we go to counseling, we go to have prayer requests we want to share and pray for. We shake the pastor's hand. A lot of will you tell your husbands, a lot of info you need to pass along to the pastor, prayer request, Sunday school issues, junior church issues, hurt feelings. A lot of things are told to a pastor's wife. Right, Mom? I didn't prep my mom for this either. Are we right? You have to deal with a lot of stuff, right? She deserves a lot of thank yous. But it's very rare. Trying to take care of her husband, which is a full-time job. Trust me, all right? Trying to take care of responsibilities and teaching and ministries. And I'm not going to rehash all the little things I've said before. But sometimes, not that she lives for it, not that she's will fall apart if she doesn't, but it sure would be nice. Because that's something we should do to all the saints, right? Cease not to give thanks for you. That should be something we do to each other. In a very unique position, I think, deserves a few thank yous. After the ladies' fellowship, stop and say thank you. After the setting up, the ordering of the food, the getting the cakes ordered and decorated, planning that games and cleaning up afterwards, and making sure the kitchen is organized before the next event. Thank you. I cease not to give thanks for you. Every church member, but every pastor's wife needs to hear, thank you, I appreciate you. Number two, every pastor's wife, and every church member, but especially pastor's wife, needs to hear, I'm praying for you. Verse 16, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. I'm not complaining, zero. That's what I'm here for. This is what God called me to do, all right? So everyone got that? Everybody shake your head? There's all right? Do you know how many prayer requests I'm given in a week? You know how many texts and phone calls and emails and that's what we're here to do. All right, zero complaining on that. I would suffer if I wasn't giving these things. I want to do these things. Just every once in a while, go to the pastor's wife and say, I just want you to know. And mean it. I prayed for you today. I prayed for you today. Thankful for who you are and what you do. I pray for you. Get a hold of Jody down in Florida, ladies, and just say, just want you to know, and mean it. I prayed for you today. Is there anything I can pray for you? get a hold of Miss Camille in Russia, Brianna next door, Monica, Miss Peggy, Miss Lydia. As a lady, just say, I prayed for you. Is there something I can pray for you about? Because prayer is powerful. And knowing that people are praying for you is encouraging. Amen? I'm not going to put mom on the spot. Definitely ain't going to put my wife on the spot because I have to go home with her tonight, right? But been asked to pray for a lot of people in your life. But not nearly as many people reached out to say they're praying for you. No complaints. It's just the facts. You say, this is awkward. I know. Things we don't like to talk about, right? But it's needful. It's needful. You understand this, that the pastor's wife falls apart, then you don't have a pastor. And I can give you a small list, if I thought about it, probably a larger list, of men who are no longer in their ministry because their wife said, I can't do it anymore. I've been trying to counsel with someone the last few weeks. The wife is about done. Pastor. And I know it would sure mean a lot if a lot of ladies went to that pastor's wife this week and said, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. Thank you. Makes a difference. A third thing is this, verse number 17. Again, it's continuing the sentence, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Again, someone's probably going to send a text, I appreciate you. I am praying for you. Right? This third statement, here's how I wrote it, that every pastor's wife needs to hear is, I respect your wisdom and your leadership. Now again, a pastor's wife has no position in the church of leadership. But at the same time, you know who gets up at the ladies' fellowship. Right? You know who does all these things. So does she have to? No. And keep that in mind. She doesn't have to. But she wants to. Generally. She wants to. It'd be nice if it's that way for anyone, especially for a pastor's wife, to know that someone appreciates what's been taught, the knowledge that's been shared, the decisions, the counseling that was given. The pastor's wife is to be, according to all wives in the book of Genesis, why was she given to Adam? To be what for Adam? A helpmeet. So your pastor's wife is a what? A helpmeet. Help meet the needs of whom? The pastor. So she's helping to meet the needs of the pastor and encouraging, supporting, strengthening, and you can help her who's helping your pastor by saying thank you. God places the members in the church as it pleased Him. Amen? That's what the Bible says. So God placed her in the position she's at. Number four, last thing, and I'm done. Right on time. How about that? Fourth thing would be nice to tell to the pastor's wife is this. You can count on me. You can count on me. Verse number 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling. Now, what's God's calling in my life in June of 2022? That's an easy question. What's God's calling for my life in June of 2022? To be what? Right. What's God's Calling for Stacy Burke in June of 2022? To be my wife. And Paul said here that you would have the hope of your calling. What's hope mean in the Bible? Confidence, expectation, right? So what's he saying here? How can we apply it to the pastor's wife? God grant you wisdom. Thank you for that wisdom that you're sharing. Your eyes being open that you will know with confidence in your calling. Her calling is to help who? And the pastor's calling is to help who? You, right? There's a hope there, a confidence. We're right there. We'll be faithful. You're not being faithful to Stacy. That's not what anyone's asking. It's being faithful to God. Being faithful to responsibilities, being faithful. You see, the opposite of what we're talking about is this, being overcritical, a complainer. But instead, be a help. In the hope of that calling, I will be there. Awkward conversation, things we don't like to talk about. But if those things are good for every church member and it's good to hear to be told to you, even so, it'd be really good for a pastor's wife to hear these things. Because these four things are a lot of times a struggle in a pastor's wife. Right, Mom? You may not think about it much, because we don't talk about it much. But you can change your church. You can change the community, yea, the world, by encouraging your pastor's wife. Because her job is to encourage your pastor. His job is to encourage you. And then your job is to encourage the pastor and the pastor's wife who encourages you. You know what that equals? A really strong, happy, growing church. I know. But there's lots of other things we need to talk about that aren't talked about much, right? Let's pray. God, thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for some thoughts here tonight. And I just pray that, Lord, you just help us to remember these things in the days ahead. Lord, I pray that we'd think on these things. And Lord, I thank you that there's no problems tonight. I don't preach these things out of a need and nothing's falling apart. It's just, it's true.